Okay, so I talk about solar neutron results from Tsuba Kamiokande. Contents of my talk are updated analysis of day-night and energy spectrum of SK1 data and oscillation analysis and preliminary results from SK2 and some few words about the future prospects. Excuse me. The Tsuba Kamiokande was started in 1996. We took 5 years of data as SK1 period. After the accident in year 2001, we reconstructed the detector, and the Tsuba K is now running as a Tsuba Kamiokande 2 second phase from December 2002. And we will continue this SK2 phase until fall year 2005. Then we plan to fully reconstruct Tsuba Kamiokande, and SK3 is foreseen from year 2006. So Tsuba K, as you know, is a 50 kiloton total volume and a 22 kiloton fiducial volume detector located 1,000 meter underground water Cherenkov detector. The number of inner detector PMT was 11,146 in SK1, and it is now 5,182 in SK2. Photo coverage of the inner surface of the detector is 40% in SK1 and 19% in SK2. Cherenkov light yield is about 6 photoelectron per MeV in SK1 and 2.8 now. And in SK2, all PMTs are covered by this acrylic and FRP cases, and photon loss through this case is about 3.4%. So it's not a major amount. So it's rather severe to detect solar neutrino in SK2, but nevertheless, we try to measure solar neutrinos, and I will talk about it in the second half of my talk. The number of photometric priors will be back to 11,146 in SK3. Solar neutrino measurement in Tsuba Kamiokande is using boron 8 by neutrino electron scattering. It has sensitivity not only for nu e, but also nu mu and nu tau. And SK has very high statistics in solar neutrino measurement above energy, total energy above 5 MeV. We detect 15 events per day. And using this high statistics event, we study time variation like day-night asymmetry or the energy spectrum. So this figure shows that this is previous solar plus Kamerland contour, and these lines show how much day-night asymmetry is expected at Tsuba Kamiokande. So we expect 1 to 3%. It's small, but we should better to check the consistency with those global parameters. For the energy spectrum, I show several LMA solutions and how recoil electron energy spectrum should look like. We may expect about 10% uprise in our SK energy region. So during SK1, we took 1,496 days of data. And in total, we observed 22,400 solar neutrino events, 14.5 events per day. And solar neutrino flux is obtained to be 2.35 plus minus 0.02 plus minus 0.08 times 10 to 6 per square centimeter per second. And normalized by BP 2004, the flux is 40.6 plus minus this error number. So this is a day-night asymmetry plot we showed 2 years ago. We took the daytime and the nighttime data, and the flux difference between day and night is minus 2.1% plus minus 2.0 plus minus 1.3, 1.2. And we subdivided the nighttime into 6 bins, then this beam was further divided into several energy beams, and we analyzed the data. But this time, we developed an unbeamed method to fully make use of the zenith angle information. So this figure shows the zenith angle variation of the flux for various energies for this particular oscillation parameter, delta m square 6.3 times 10 to minus 5, tangent square theta was 0.55. And you see some wiggles, and this is the expected effect. And I should remind you, horizontal axis, this zenith angle is the direction of the sun, so we know very precisely, event by event basis, this zenith angle very well. It's not a reconstructed direction, it's time of the event. So this information is put into our flux likelihood function. Sorry for this complicated equation. We use extended maximum likelihood method to obtain flux. So this method is essentially fit angular distribution to the sun by essentially flat background plus the solar neutrino signal. So in this likelihood function, we put this time-varying factor in front of the event, each solar neutrino event, so for each event. So this zenith angle dependence, which I showed in the previous figure, is put into this likelihood. So this figure shows the asymmetry of day-night, but in reality, this is we obtained day-night amplitude. Then that day-night amplitude difference is translated into day-night asymmetry. And since the zenith angle dependence depends on the neutrino oscillation parameters, this effective day-night asymmetry is parameter dependent. So in this upper figure, for the fixed tangent square theta as a function of delta m square, this shows plus minus one sigma band of day-night asymmetry. And the lower figure shows as a function of mixing angle for fixed delta m square. And for the parameter of our best fit parameter in LMA, it is constrained by BP2000 flux and error. It is this value, 6.3 times 10 to minus 5 and 0.55. For this particular oscillation parameter, day-night asymmetry value is minus 1.8 plus minus 1.6 plus 1.3 minus 1.2. So this is this around here, and this green line shows the expected day-night asymmetry, and this asymmetry value is consistent with expected. So observed value is consistent with this expectation. This figure shows the asymmetry is plotted as a function of energy, and they are data points, and this is plus minus one sigma band, so data looks consistent. Now, about the energy spectrum. This figure shows the energy spectrum of SK1. Vertical axis is the data normalized by standard solar model BP2004, and this red shows the small mixing angle, and this blue is the one of the just so solution, so they are easily rejected. This LMA 0.38 tangent square and delta m square 7.2 times 10 to minus 5 is the best fit solar plus Kamran. Of course, this Kamran means before this conference. Is like this. And you may see this does not agree with the data, but we have to be careful. This dotted band is the plus minus one sigma of energy correlated systematic error. So taking into account this energy correlated error, the data marginally agrees, but by improving this systematic error, we may have power to discuss this energy spectrum. Because of this The SK data spectrum is essentially flat, but we expect for this large mixing angle LMA, global LMA solution, we should expect this kind of trend. Our best fit SK data prefers a rather smaller delta M square and slightly larger tangent square to accommodate this data spectrum. So, but in this case, best fit boron 8 flux from SK data is 4.84 times 10 to 6 per square centimeter per second. Okay, so we put this energy spectrum information and the time variation information to the chi-square, and we did oscillation analysis. Sorry for this complicated equation again. Essentially, this is compares the observed energy spectrum with the oscillation expectation, and the time variation factor I explained, unbind method, and the energy correlated error is controlled by this sigma term. So this shows the flux independent excluded region on tangent square and delta M square. The SK do not have allowed region if we use only SK information because we don't observe any day-night nor spectrum distortion. But to show you the power of SK energy and day-night information, I show you allowed region assuming a fixed boron 8 flux. So this region is allowed if we assume fixed flux value of 5 times 0.5 times 10 to 6 per square centimeter per second. This is the central value of the BP2000. And this one is the BP2004, 5.78 times 10 to 6 flux. So zooming into this LMA region, this is, so the assuming higher flux value, the allowed region goes towards the lower tangent square and the lower delta M square. And this is a projection onto the mixing angle. So the mixing angle is around 0.3 to 0.6. And this delta M square is below 10 to minus 4, several times 10 to minus 5. So far we have analyzed SK1 data only above 5 MeV total energy, but recently we have analyzed lower energy region, further lower than the 5 MeV total energy. So we added another beam for 4.5 to 5 MeV energy beam. And first of all, we have to fight against the various backgrounds for this energy region. So this figure shows the vertex position distribution. So this axis is R square, radial coordinate. And we have many events near the wall. They are most likely they are gamma ray or something from the hot multipliers. So this is before applying various cuts. And after applying those incoming events, remove those incoming events, in the previous analysis, we got this level. And then we make a Z vertical distribution. We observe this is near the bottom and this is top. Some excess near the bottom. And this is mainly due to the water supply moves the radon around near the bottom of the tank. So to remove those backgrounds and further remove those remaining incoming events, we apply tighter cuts to reduce external backgrounds, and we have developed better improved vertex reconstruction program, and we removed some high radon level runs. And also we select run period when the trigger efficiency for 4.5 to 5 MeV is more than 95%. We had 466 days during SK1 for such low threshold period. So this is the angular distribution to the sun for this 4.5 to 5 MeV total energy beam. And we observed a signal of 629 plus minus 130 statistical error events. And flux obtained compared with the SSM prediction shape, flux obtained only this beam is 3.13 plus minus 0.63 plus minus 0.15 systematic error. And plotting this new beam on our previous SK1 result, about 5 MeV, so this data point is consistent within 1 sigma. So the because of the some smaller time and the larger background, it does not have strong impact at the moment, but we may expect more better data future in SK3. Okay, now I talk about SK2 preliminary result. So we have done very extensively detector calibration in SK2, and PMT relative gain was very well calibrated using nickel gamma source and xenon scintillation ball, and the timing is calibrated by nitrogen dye laser. And we took LINAC calibration data at those six positions. And this figure shows the typical energy spectrum at center position. And the red shows the data, and the histogram almost agree, it's almost hidden behind the red points, is the Monte Carlo simulation. So the data was taken for 13.4, 8.8, 6.8, and 5.8 MeV. And it's really one of the amazing thing is the SK2 has a very smaller number of photomultipliers, but the vertex reconstruction and energy reconstruction works even down to around 5 MeV. So this is the detector performance of SK2 obtained by LINAC calibration. This shows energy resolution. Energy resolution is about 20% at 10 MeV, and the vertex resolution is about 100 centimeter at 10 MeV, and angular resolution is 28 degree at 10 MeV. And this shows the absolute energy calibration and current status of the absolute energy calibration. We already achieved within plus minus 2% in the absolute energy scale. And Monte Carlo tuning is still in progress. So this is not the final calibration, but it's good shape. We also done nitrogen 16 calibration using DT generator. The SK method of this calibration is we deploy DT generator in the tank and produce neutron by DT interaction. Then the nitrogen 16 cloud is made, and this DT generator is pulled up to take very clean data. So this spectrum is the data compared with the Monte Carlo simulation. So this blue is the simple Monte Carlo simulation, and the black behind this red data points is the trigger efficiency is collected, and this spectrum shape agrees very well. And this shows the zenith angle dependence of the energy scale calibration. And the DT data was taken at various positions in the detector, and the subdivided into various zenith angle beams. And the calibration is well done within plus minus, much better than plus minus 0.5%. So energy calibration, zenith angle dependence is also done very precisely. So SK2 trigger is essentially same as SK1. We require number of hit PMTs within 200 nanoseconds greater than something. And this so-called low energy trigger, LE trigger, was applied from the beginning of the detector, this above 14. And the super low energy trigger is installed. This requires 200 nanoseconds greater than 10 PMTs. This was added after July 15th last year. In case of SLE trigger, online vertex reconstruction is applied, and events only in the fiduciary volumes are selected for the SLE events. Trigger rate is, LE trigger is 70 Hz and SLE is 1.1 kHz. And this figure shows the trigger efficiency curve as a function of total energy. And so the SLE trigger is 100% efficient above 6.5 MeV, and the LE trigger is more than 8.0 MeV. So we analyzed the data above 8.0 MeV in SK2. We observed 325 days of data, and the obtained solar neutron signal is 2,161 plus minus about 80 statistical error. And the flux obtained, this number of events, is 2.38 plus minus 0.09 statistical error. And the systematic error is still under study. And this number is consistent with SK1 result of 2.35 plus minus this error. So this shows the angular distribution to the sun for daytime and nighttime. And flux of daytime is 2.34 plus minus 0.13. Nighttime is 2.40 plus minus 0.12. And this day-night asymmetry value is minus 2.5% plus minus 7.5% is again consistent with SK1. This is the energy spectrum of SK2. Those data points are obtained by 325 days of SK2 data, and this line shows the SK1 average. So this spectrum also consistent with SK1, and the spectrum is still flat. So this is time variation plot. This is during SK1 period, and these points are newly added for SK2 data. The data is above 8.0 MeV, so this is also consistent. And this expected variation is due to eccentricity, and during SK1 it was really observed. Okay, so I think I have only a few minutes. So I'd like to tell you future of Super Kamiokande on the solar neutron analysis in SK3, what we like to do. So as I said, this energy spectrum, we should observe about 10% uprise if it is come around and the solar experiments are consistent. We really like to see if this uprise, if it should be there. As I said, this systematic error is somewhat dominating our analysis in SK1. But in future, we like to lower this systematic error and reduce statistical error at lower energy bins and the further lower energy threshold down to 4 MeV or so. We really like to do this analysis. So this figure shows the sensitivity of SK3 and as a function of how many live years of SK3, how much significance we can obtain in that spectrum distortion. So I plotted several oscillation parameter cases, and the current, previous solar plus Kamrand best fit parameter case, we should be able to observe 3 sigma effect about 5 or 6 years of SK3 operation. And if the mixing angle is larger, the significance increases. And for lower delta M square or larger tangent square, significance is smaller, and so on. So here I assumed correlated systematic error is improved by factor 0.5. And the 4.0 to 5.5 MeV background is reduced by to 30%. And assuming same background level above 5.5 MeV. And first of all, this correlated systematic error. Oh, only 1 minute. Okay. Here I showed the source of the breakdown of the correlated systematic errors. So the largest contribution comes from the energy scale, and the non-negligible fraction come from boron 8 spectrum shape. So we need better energy calibration, about plus minus 0.4% in SK3, and the beta boronate spectrum shape information from nuclear physics for getting this spectrum distortion. Okay, so I should summarize. We have obtained high statistics solar neutron data in Super-Kamiokande, and day-night asymmetry is obtained by unbeamed method, and obtained value is this one. Energy spectrum escape prefers smaller delta M square and larger tangent square compared with global best fit parameters. And the assuming boronate total flux of SSM prediction, LMA solution is preferred, and we have added new energy beam for SK1 data, 4.5 to 5.0 MeV, and preliminary result from SK2 was presented and consistent with SK1, and we hope to see energy spectrum distortion if should be there in future. Thank you very much.